Oh, hi, everybody. My name is Matt Storrs, and welcome to Matt's Planning. On today's episode, I have an expert on who I'm very excited to speak with. Expert, please introduce yourself and tell us what you're an expert in.
Hello, my name is Birgit Ditze, and I'm a story architect. And that name just concludes everything I do in regards of ghostwriting, speaking, workshops, and being a published author.
Absolutely fantastic. I feel like story architecture and ghostwriting are two things that I know quite a bit about. And I think a lot of people, their predisposition with ghostwriting is they think it's about ghost stories, but it's actually when a ghost comes into your body, a la the movie Ghost, and kind of takes over your body and gives you that creative spirit. Sometimes it can be a ghost that has hired you. Sometimes it can be a ghost that has infested, or I want to say infested, I don't know, possessed another person's body. And that person usually has some money, has a story to tell, but that ghost has possessed them and made them so that they have wanted to get that story out, but they can't always get that story written. So sometimes they'll have to go out and hire a writer to help with that. The ghost has made a bad decision in terms of who they possessed. They didn't possess Cormac McCarthy. They didn't possess Neil Gaiman or anything like that. They possess somebody that has an interesting story, but you might not be able to write exactly how they want it to. And then with story architecture, I think that one of the most common misconceptions there is that it is stories about buildings and about how buildings are built and the stories behind them. So you use the history, you choose a building, and then you try and talk about everybody that's come into that building over the years that it was constructed. So from the planning stages, from the building itself, to building the foundations, to, you know, when they started petitioning for the individuals that were going to sell merchandise in the building, the businesses that came in and were going to do it, and all these little parts, there's all these different stories. And so it's a very good and effective way to build a narrative from a lot of different perspectives. And I think that that's a really hard thing to do if it's, you know, it's a standard building. If it's something that's really, you have a lot to pull from, it can be a lot more interesting. So for instance, you have like the Chrysler Building, you have the Empire State Building, you have, if you want to expand it out in kind of terms of concept, you have like Central Park in New York as potential places where there's a lot of really interesting characters that have been connected to them. And so like you have a lot to pull from, and then you use those basis of those characters and what you can find, you know, from their daily ledgers and stuff like that. And then you build this narrative and this story based around the architecture that you're connected to. And so how those ultimately connect is that most of the time, once you've started looking into the history of those buildings, that's when the ghosts that inhabit those buildings are going to start seeking you out. Those people that helped build those buildings, that designed those buildings, that first opened a little shop in that building, those people are going to be like, wow, that person is doing a lot of research on this building that I worked in. I should probably possess their body or possess somebody around them and inspire them to write my story, or my story from the perspective of what was happening. And I think that that's just an absolutely beautiful thing to be able to get those firsthand accounts, you know, even though these are spiritual firsthand accounts, and bring that into the world and allow people to, you know, better understand what might actually be happening, you know, with their day to day, you know, the narratives and the excitement that we kind of overlook because we don't necessarily see that narrative thread because, you know, we're living in it. And, you know, being able to take a step back to have those possibly decades or centuries, you know, on our own, you know, after we've passed, to really look at the narrative and narrative structure of our lives really can be really profound and amazing to have that opportunity, and then to be able to share it with, you know, your conduit, who hopefully is a writer. Now, based on what you've heard so far, about how much of that would you say was accurate?
Well, I would just, you know, get a bit of more specific and condense what you just said. Basically,
okay.
Based on your knowledge, ghostwriter is a squatter. who takes over
Okay.
the building, and story architect is going to decide like which rooms is the ghost going to take.
I see. Okay,
So
yeah,
do
that actually makes a fair amount of sense. How did you get into ghostwriting and story architecture?
Well, that is the better where we're gonna talk about, less imaginative, the more pragmatic approach. So, I've been a journalist for over 13 years. I'm originally from Estonia. I live in Scotland now for over 4 years, and being a journalist brought into my life a lot of interesting people, a lot of complicated topics that I needed to transform into something that is easy to read and understand. And that, I think, trained and polished my storytelling skills, but also it raised an interest and developed that curiosity about different expertise people have, plus also their life stories. And because I love them so much, and I didn't think I, me, myself had something that interesting to say, because we always find other people's stories more interesting. That's how I became a ghostwriter. Story architect is like an umbrella theme to everything what I do.
I see.
So ghostwriting is just one of the things. And it's not just me writing the story. The reason why I say it's a story architect is like an architect is given it gives you a vision of the house that you want to live in. It gives the architect gives you also the optional structure that it could be, that kind of like a framework. And I'm not just writing that story, I'm not just interviewing, but I'm also creating that outline, that structure, how to pass on your memoir or your professional expertise. And the tagline I go with is transforming messy thoughts into thoughtful messages. And this is also what I do as a speaker. This is also what I do during my writing workshops and also my books. So that kind of story architect, my passion is words. And words, not just in a sense of what we are writing, but words in a sense of the stories we are creating about ourselves, about our lives, the stories that we are sharing about our lives and ourselves to others. So just kind of like creating those stories and sharing those stories as a vision, something that is intentional.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely fascinating. And so where do the ghosts come in then with your experience?
Well, the ghost is the person behind your writing, because
I see.
ghostwriters are when the author is on the cover of the book, but someone else has done the writing. So
Okay, I see. Okay, so I see. All right.
Matt, if you want to do a wonderful book about your podcast, your mansplaining, and you either don't have time because you're a busy person and you actually, without any sarcasm, have more important things to do than to write a book, then but you would like to become an author because that enhances your credibility. You become someone who's an author, not just someone who talks about things. Then the ghost comes in to do the writing, and
Right.
you will become the author.
I see. And how is that, from your experience, is that usually pretty collaborative?
It depends on a customer. When we talk about memoirs, then there are people who really want to write bits of it themselves, and they might have written something already. Or if it's about business book, like the business expertise, then they might have a course that they would like to turn into a book. Then they've got something written already, and then I'm interviewing them. Okay, what we're gonna add here? How are we gonna expand on this? How are we going to just clarify that a bit more? But there have been cases when just people come to me, they've got an idea. I want to write about this. I want to share that story of my life. And then we'll do a certain amount of interviews, a certain particular, based on the package they choose. And then I'll do the writing, and then they will review.
Okay.
And then it comes back to me, then I'll make edits, then it goes to a third party professional editor who's doing the copy and line editing. And what they get back is a ready to publish draft, manuscript. So
That's
then they can take to the next level. And part of my services is also that kind of like a consultation, what the next steps are. So when the copy and line editing is happening, what they should be doing, like the book cover designer, and they should go to the bookstore and, explore what kind of book covers do they like. So all those like little things that people don't know about the publishing world and might sound intimidating, I'm kind of like walking them through and holding their hand through the process.
That's fantastic. Do you find that when folks have done some writing already, that it's easy to kind of find their voice or adapt to their voice? Or do you find that you kind of have to massage that writing into something that'll work for something longer?
Both options are, have happened. So
I
there are
see.
people who are not happy with the way they write. So they pass on their writing and they say, I don't like it, but there are some facts and things. And then I kind of like, as you said, I massage it based on how they speak. So I encourage people to have books that are quite conversational, especially nowadays when we find it difficult, or people find it difficult to kind of focus on very heavy content, and they want something that is easy to read but meaningful. So that's why the conversational style comes in. And if some people, when we do the interviews and I'm capturing their voice and putting it on paper, then I say, oh, did I really say that? I would like it to be more professional, quotation marks. And then we kind of find that is not kind of like a dry professional, but it is simple, it is engaging, but it is still professional.
Absolutely. Are there things that typically frustrate you when, or types of clients that might frustrate you, or circumstances that are particularly difficult that you've encountered?
Well, this will the understanding usually comes within the first like pre-working interview, whether we are a good match.
I see.
Because I'm not for everyone, and I'm not intending to be. I don't take projects that are, come with the intention for a revenge. I don't
I
do
see.
that. And if I kind of sense that, then I'm just going to be very honest, which is a very Estonian thing to say that I'm not the right person for you. I'm not going to take this project. I'm sorry, but I don't wish to do that because my personal values are important to me. And the second thing would be if you've got young children, then I really encourage you to think about that whatever you write is going to be there for probably hundreds of years. And right now they might be young, but at some point they are teenagers. And the way you write about them, the way you write about the other parent or the grandparents, might become a point of mocking them,
I see.
bullying them. So my travel memoir is at the publisher's hands just now as we speak. And I even didn't put my son's name into that book.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I've always kind of heard the statement of don't say anything, don't write anything that you wouldn't want your grandparents to read. But I think that having something from the mindset of don't say something or publish something that you don't want your teenage children to read and have to deal with in school is also a very good way to approach that.
Yeah, so I don't mind going through difficult topics like abuse, or one of the books I wrote about was about stroke and divorce. So I don't mind difficult topics like that. I'm not kind of like a faint-hearted or so. But I think these topics need to be addressed from the point of that this is my personal perception. and it should make things better, not worse.
Absolutely. You want to have somebody who has kind of, to use the parlance, but has kind of processed their experience to some degree. I would imagine that the writing process is pretty cathartic for some people, but you want somebody to have processed the emotional side of it, especially if it is something that's dealing with other people before they go into it, so they can kind of have that objectivity so they don't mistakenly disparage somebody or put them in a light that is overly negative.
Yeah, that's why developmental editing is so important, and that's why I include that in my services as well as part of coach writing, but also separately. I've worked quite a lot of memoirs. So just to clarify the difference between a biography and memoir is about a particular life event, like a certain period of your life. I mentioned a stroke or a divorce. But it can also be, a childhood abuse and how you overcame that. So it's just one topic, one period of your life. That is a memoir. It can be a teaching memoir where you can share tips as well. Coaches use it quite often. But a biography is your life story from the moment you were born to now. And that is like if you've got, I work with elderly people who are like 8 or 6 years old. So they are writing mostly biographies. So that is like a longer process. But memoir can focus on just one theme, one topic, one period of your life only. So yeah, these are the main differences. And developmental editing, like when you've written your memoir, your story that you want to share that help heal others or will inspire others, which it will do. So don't doubt that it won't. But having like a second pair of eyes who is not part of that story, but who is neutral and who's objective in a sense that, this is how it looks, and maybe we should rephrase it like this. Would you like to rewrite that bit? Would you like to expand? Maybe we can condense that bit. It will only make your book better.
Absolutely.
And just keep in mind when, like, if even if you work with other editors, you all have the same goal. You want your book to be the best it can be. As an author, you don't have to agree with all the suggested edits. Like, if you feel like this is taking away the main thing that you want to say with that book, then you can say, I disagree. I want to keep that. And it's your book. You don't have to agree with every single edit that is suggested. And this is something that I always emphasize when we have those conversations. So they are there to help you, but you are allowed to disagree.
Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. This has been so insightful. I feel like I was pretty off base when I came into this, but I feel like I've learned quite a bit. If people wanted to learn more about you or about story architecture or ghostwriting itself, where would you recommend that they go?
Well, you could always Google because there's Google Almighty. But if you'd like to ask those questions me and from me and just keep that conversation going, then please be nosy on my website. It is www.birgit-itse.com. I'm gonna just spell it. It's birgit-itse.com.
Fantastic. Thank you.
And my socials
Okay,
are there as
yes.
well. My socials are there as well. I'm pretty active on LinkedIn and Facebook. I publish my writing on Instagram. So, yeah, feel free to connect.
Birgit, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. And this was so insightful. I can't thank you enough.
Thank you for having me. It's been a blast. It was really interesting to hear that kind of take. I really wanted to interrupt and I said, no, not just your body, but also your mind. But you were just on a roll, so I was like, okay, I'll let him speak.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, that is. Thank you. I love that. My name is Matt Storrs, and this has been Matt's Planning. Hey, everybody. Before we go today, I wanted to let you know that I have a new solo show No Bones About It, about my lifelong love of dinosaurs, premiering at the New York City Fringe in April, April 17th and 20th. Both in-person and streaming tickets are available on the Frigid website, frigid.nyc. I hope that you'll be able to check out this wonderful show that includes art from some of my best friends who have been so kind to provide artwork of their favorite fat dinosaurs. You can find out more information on any of my social profiles at MT Stores, MTSTORRS. And I hope that you'll get a chance to see this absolutely delightful show that I have been able to put together. Thank you so much for listening. I love you.